Scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. Listen to God's word to you. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. Each one should build with care, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one that has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring light to it. It will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive the reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but it will be saved, even though only as one escaping through flames. This ends the first reading. The next New Testament reading is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 through 19. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, or who correctly handles the word of God, the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more worldly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. And the final reading today is taken from Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my word and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man who is building a house on a strong foundation. When the floods come and the torrents strike, the house cannot be shaken because it is built well. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed. Its destruction was complete.
I'd like to thank the musicians today and our lay reader, Chris. You guys are just outstanding. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, I ask that you silence me, and that the Holy Spirit will speak through me. Give the message that people need to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, family of faith, I have to tell you that I am just so excited about every 5 or 6 weeks to be able to preach to you. Well, most of the time I'm either working with the youth or the young adults. I really look forward to this this time of preaching. This is a real passion of mine. The last time I preached, you probably remember that I talked about witnessing and about sharing a story. And God has just placed that on my heart so much over the last few months about sharing our stories. So today I will be sharing some stories. The other thing that God has really placed on my heart is the use of multiple intelligences. And in teaching, in my former career, I used multiple intelligences a lot when I taught my third graders. And multiple intelligences are learning not just through listening, but maybe through artwork, maybe through music, through math. There are many multiple intelligences. One of the things that I remember is the Titanic in the mining. Two of the things that we talked about was it's really important what is below the surface. And also, it's very important to have a very firm foundation. Now, the Titanic, when it was built, one of the innovations that it had was down in the bottom of the ship, there were multiple sections that could be closed off and made watertight if indeed something ran into the Titanic or the Titanic ran into something else. And of course, we know the Titanic did run into an iceberg. Likewise, when I talk with my students about mining, and in particular, we talked about coal mining, we talked about how important it was below the surface to have a firm foundation to protect the miners. Under cover of your bulletin, I have a photo of something that happens each year in Peru, and this year, Lewis, you'll get to experience it with the team. One of the things that we do when we do construction is we have to dig a firm foundation for the structure. And that usually means digging by hand, maybe about 6 feet down. And on that photo, you can see the maestro, who is the head construction worker, and then a couple of his fellow workers who are modeling to the team what we need to do. And so after that 6 foot trench is dug out, the next thing that we do is we go in search of boulders. And that's something that a lot of the young guys really get into. And what we do is we find boulders by the side of the road, and then we push them into a tiny little pickup truck up a ramp. And then once we fill that pickup truck with a bunch of boulders, then we take it to the work site. And we cut the ramp down, and then we roll those into the foundation. And the very last thing that we do is we add cement to it to hold the whole thing together. Now, in all of these instances that I gave you, there is a cost. When we tell our story, first of all, the most important thing before we even tell our story is to listen to the other person's story. So there's that cost of listening rather than talking right away. The Titanic, the cost was in dollars. It was a very expensive ship to build. It was built both to be luxurious as well as very safe, although it didn't fare too well on safety. The coal mine, a lot of time is put into making the structure so that the miners can go down and be safe. And then finally, in building those foundations in Peru, the cost is in physical labor because nothing is done by a machine. Mark knows that. Everything is mixed by hand, cement and such. Also, the other cost is there's a chance of potential injury. Rolling those big boulders off. Now, there is an importance in all of these things, too. When we listen to a person's story, it shows that we care about them, that we want to invest in them. Likewise, the Titanic, there was a care for the travelers, the people that were traveling on that ship. The miners, there is care for their physical well-being. And then finally, the structures that are built in Peru, there is care for the boys. The reason these buildings are built the way they are is to make them almost earthquake-proof. So it's that below the surface firm foundation that really counts. Now, as Christians, a firm foundation is also very important. And in our readings today, we found out three different things that make a firm foundation. The first one is declaring Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And in 1 Corinthians, we heard that the only foundation is Jesus Christ. is prayer or dialogue with God. And in Luke, we heard that a workman who hears my words and puts them into practice lays the foundation on rock. So we can see that for a Christian, there is also a cost. There is a cost in time, because you need to put aside time to spend with God, to get into the Bible, and likewise to get into prayer. It's a time that you need to put aside every day. The importance is your relationship with God is dependent upon how firm your foundation really is. So it's what is below the surface that really counts. So the one thing I'd like to do today is I'd like us to all think about how strong our spiritual foundations are. And I'm going to use something that Pastor Dave has used, in which he has picked a holy hero to talk about. And actually, I picked two, and I'm going to kind of do a compare and contrast. One is a holy hero from the Bible, Job. And you might think that's kind of an unlikely person to put as a hero, but I'll weave my tail in a few minutes here. And then Job was from Uz, capital U-Z. And then the other holy hero, I'm going to pick the contemporary person, or I have picked the contemporary person, and his name is Doug Goddard. And Doug is probably one of the first people that I met when I spent a year at Allen Park working with their youth program. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about his story. Now, Doug would have been here in person to tell you his story himself, but Doug is very devoted to playing in the handbell choir, and they were playing today over at Allen Park, so he wasn't able to be here. And the reason I chose both Job and Doug Goddard is because both of these men have a really below-the-surface firm foundation. They both have a real intimate relationship with God. They read His Word daily, and they are really engaged daily and focused and bold dialogue with God. Now, both Job and Doug were really blessed. They were blessed in an occupation. If you read the book of Job, you will find out that he was quite a wealthy man. Owned many different animals, had servants who herded him. And Doug, likewise, worked for the various automobile companies. And both of them pretty much had all the toys and the whistles that go along with being blessed. The other way they were blessed is both of them had families that they truly loved. Now, the first test for Job came, and there were multiple things that happened to Job. First of all, his oxen and his donkeys were stolen, and a bunch of his servants were killed. The next thing that happened was fire fell from the sky and actually burned up his sheep and killed a number of other servants. The third thing that happened to Job was his camels were taken away, and some other servants were killed. He had quite a few servants. The last thing that happened in this first section of Job that I'm telling you about was something that deeply crushed Job. That was his children and their spouses were partying together in a house, and a strong wind came and blew the sides of the walls down, and the roof fell on him and killed all of his children and spouses. Now, Job, of course, it's understandable that he grieved over this, but the one thing that Job did is he showed God that he loved them for who he was, not what he gave him. It was that below-the-surface firm foundation that supported Job. Now, the one thing that Job did have a question about is he wanted an answer, why? Why did this happen to me? Now, Job, on the other hand, has a young boy, lost his grandfather, who lived with the family, to marriage during the first 15, 16 years. One of his loves was to ride his Harley Davidson motorcycle. And he was on a road trip with a bunch of buddies, and he ended up having a stroke while he was riding his motorcycle, and it ended up that he had a terrible crash, and he was in physical rehab for almost a year, learning how to speak, how to walk, and such. And then the final blow was that his wife of almost 20 years, while he was still in rehab, served him with divorce papers. Doug was grieved, but he showed God that he loved him. But he did tell God that I'm not that strong, so please spread out the pain. And it was that low surface, firm foundation that supported Doug. Now, the second test for Job was that his body was completely covered with sores. For Doug, and this happened recently, his 29-year-old son died of a drug overdose. This was a son that lived with him, as well as his 6-year-old grandson who lived with him. And Doug just assumed that he would have custody of his grandson. But he soon found out that his daughter-in-law, who was battling addiction, got custody of the grandchild. But still, it was that below the surface, a firm foundation that kept Doug strong. And next, we can talk about the family and friends with Job. His wife didn't comfort him at all. As a matter of fact, Job's wife told him that he should curse God and die. Now, isn't that a great thing for a wife to tell her husband? His friends blamed Job for suffering, saying that it was because he was sinful. And then he also had a friend who told him that God was probably just testing him. Job cursed the day of his birth and said it would have been better if he was never born. Now, Doug, on the other hand, his friends and brother didn't really do a very good job of comforting him. They just told him that you need to get over it and move on. Doug blamed himself for his setbacks and thought that this probably happened because he was an unworthy person. Now, through reflections, Job was a righteous man. He was not sinless, but he usually had a right relationship with God. Job was impatient with God, and he never rejected or cursed him. At one point, Job felt that God was out to get him. Job did take comfort in the fact that he believed that he would see his family again. He also showed that suffering brought us to depend on God. He repented of his attitude and acknowledged God's great power and perfect justice. And it was that below the surface, that firm foundation that carried Job. Job, as we find out at the end of the book of Job, was restored to his former spiritual and material blessings. Doug did not feel really like Job initially about having a right relationship with God. But after reflecting on it, Doug told me that he did believe that he obeyed God in all aspects of his life and to the best of his ability. Now, Doug was impatient with God, much like Job, and he felt that many times when he tried to speak to God, God was being silent. A direct quote that Doug gave me, he said, many times he would ask God, how come I can't just call you when you answer the phone? He never blamed God, but occasionally did ask God, in Doug's own words, to throw him a bone, to make something big happen for him. Doug does believe in the new heaven and the new earth, and that he will see his family again restored. He also believes that suffering teaches us to walk in somebody else's shoes. Doug has reconciled with God and realizes that God is never absent from us. And once again, it was that below the surface firm foundation that carried Doug. Now, Doug is involved in many ministries at his church. He's a deacon. He's a hands out food boxes at the church, kind of a food pantry type thing. He went there as an elementary school child in Allen Park, a little first grader. And he's involved in the Wednesday evening program, which they call Community Share, which is much like Panera Cares, in which the community is involved or has to come for a hot meal and to donate what they can. And like I told you, he's also involved in Bell Choir. Just recently, Doug has really felt that God has restored him. He's met a Christian lady who he has started up a friendship with, and he has been awarded custody of his grandson on weekends and is going back to court, hopefully to see if he can be awarded full-time custody. So Doug is feeling restored. Going a little further in that 1 Corinthians chapter 3 passage that we read earlier, we know that it said that Jesus Christ is our firm foundation. It also talks about people who lead ministries much like Doug. He needs to make sure that he leads those ministries using the gifts and talents that God has given him. And that he leads those ministries the best he can, because on the day of judgment, God will reveal the sincerity of his work. Our 2 Timothy reading tells us that God will examine what kind of worker we've been for him, which would be living for him and serving him. Consistent and diligent study of God's Word is vital for our true purpose in life. And finally, the solid foundation of God's truth never changes, is never shaken, and will never fade. And then finally, in Luke, we find that with a firm foundation, our life is a solid footing of knowing and trusting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So, when a crisis comes, once again, it's what is below the surface that makes all the difference. May God grant us all.